Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, titled, Set Your Affections on Things Above. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com. That's 2 B's, BBFOhio at protonmail.com. Or you can send those along with any check or money order donations by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also donate by going to bbfohio.com and using the PayPal donation button. And now we begin our study, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, titled, Set Your Affections on Things Above. This is part 1 of 2.
All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time we can open this book and learn. And we just pray your Holy Spirit would help us. Pray that everyone here today will be attentive. We pray for the live stream, that it'll go out so that people can watch. We also pray for those who, if the recording goes well, we hear this in the days, months, weeks, and even years ahead. And those on the radio and elsewhere, we just thank you for the opportunity to teach this book, for the many who really do hunger for your truth. And we just thank you for every one of them. And pray you bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, we're going to be in chapter 3. I said chapter 2, didn't I? And we're going to cover the first four verses. And I'm going to try to follow along here. Jenny writes my sermons, so it's kind of hard sometimes. Yeah, there are preachers whose wives write their sermons, you know that? I'm joking, but she doesn't want to lay claim to everything I say, so be careful about that. But all right, let's read the first four verses, Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Read with me. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. All God's people say, glory.
Glory.
Starts with the words, if ye then be risen with Christ. It starts with the big if. One of the things we have to repeat every once in a while is that the Bible is written for believers.
Amen.
We read in, was it 2 Thessalonians this morning, Brother John, chapter 2. Yes, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. No, that must be First Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13, yeah. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God,
amen,
which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God,
amen,
which effectually worketh also in you that believe. This book is intended for people who will receive it as God's word and not man's word. You have to believe this is a God-inspired book, that it is infallible, that it was written by men in the sense of the physical writing, but it was inspired of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And basically the word of God came through their pen. And through their mouths, when the prophets and apostles would speak, and they were quoted by people like Luke. But it's God's word. If you are not approaching the Bible with the right attitude, you will get nothing out of it.
Amen.
Now, people who are unbelievers claim to get something out of it. But when you read what they say, they twist it and they put it in worldly terms. You know, some of the great minds of the history would say, like even Ben Franklin, for example, A man who never claimed to believe the gospel, gave no profession of being born again. As a matter of fact, he he was a deist at best, and he actually gave a profession of faith in evolution before Darwin. And yet, he believed that one of the keys to the success of this nation were that people would read the Bible. And the reason was because he found wisdom in the Bible, even though he didn't believe its testimony about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, and sadly, that wisdom was lost on him, because one of the things, if you find wisdom in the Bible, then you'll find that Jesus is wisdom incarnate.
Amen.
So old Ben, I feel bad for him. He missed it. But it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, you believe the Word of God when it says how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If you believe that, then I'm sorry, there's been some people who tell me they were born believing that. And they're serious as can be. And they're dumb.
Amen.
You cannot be born believing the gospel. At some point in your life, you have to face the reality you're a sinner.
Amen.
And when it says Christ died for our sins, I'm pointing at the banner in the back in case some of you wonder. I'm not pointing at the cameraman or whatever. The Bible says Christ died for our sins. And you have to face the fact you're a sinner. And there are people being taught today, you're just wonderful the way you are. You were just born wonderful. And so it's a big, it's like an earthquake to the whole world view, their whole understanding of life, to think, wait a minute, I'm not okay the way I am. You're not. And so you have to repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, many things happen. It happens all at once, but there are many things. And one of the things that happens to you is you're born again. At that moment, the Spirit of God comes into you. And He will indwell in you. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Unto the day of redemption. It's eternal security. You are baptized into the body of Christ.
Amen.
And you're risen with Christ.
Amen.
That means in a positional definition, you, dead in sin, when you are saved, you're now risen.
Amen.
Amen.
And you're risen with Christ. Now that's true legally. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sadly, how many of you know that something that's a fact legally doesn't always play out in real life?
Amen.
And that's why the if. I mean, you're risen. If you're a Christian, if you're saved this morning, you are risen with Christ.
Amen.
Death is not the end, it's a doorway.
Amen.
When you die, you step into eternity with Christ.
Amen.
Because you're risen with Him. And so if you be risen with Christ is a big if. If you're saved, you are risen with Christ. Now think of this. Christ is risen. If you don't believe that, you're not saved. You cannot be a Christian and not believe that Christ rose from the dead.
Amen.
And is alive today. But Christ is risen, and we are risen with Him by faith in the gospel. That's how it happened. That's when it happened.
Amen.
Now, if you be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, I'm not going to belabor this point, but it just has to be said. There are things that are true that too many of us, and I'm as guilty as anybody, there's times where I don't really live as though it's true.
Yeah.
You are risen with Christ. You are, in Ephesians we read, where you are seated with Him in heavenly places. Positionally, that's where you're at. You're still down here in the flesh. But positionally, as far as God's concerned, you're already in heaven. And the moment you die, you go immediately, your soul goes into the presence of God. And then at the rapture, if you die before the rapture, your body will be risen, raised, glorified, and you'll put that new body on. And that's how you'll be for eternity. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. But you think about it. Right now, just as sure as I'm looking out at you, and you're sitting on a pew, Jesus, right now, is in heaven. He said He went to prepare a place for you. Right now, Jesus is preparing a place for you. That's really why any Christian who really lives with the knowledge of God's Word shouldn't fall apart when life falls apart. Because you understand this life is temporary. This life is but a moment. Your real life, your eternal life, is up there with Christ where He is right now. And so when you say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I would like to pray right now that You help me." And you begin talking to the Lord. I know there's times where I don't really think about it in these terms, but He is right there in heaven. He is right there hearing your prayer. Right then. Amen. Just as real as if I picked up the phone and called Johnny, and he answered this time, and we were talking on a cell phone.
There's no lag time.
Yeah, no lag time. Yeah, that's right. But you think about that, up until how many years ago was that a total impossibility?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And before that, what was it? The telegram. Don't try to figure that out. I don't know Morse code. I might have just cussed. I don't know what I just said. Yeah, I sent out an SOS. When was that? That was the early 19th century, right? Before that, what was it? I love history. I read history. They said that when a message went from Louisiana to Washington, D.C., when Andrew Jackson beat the British, the message only took 2 weeks to get there. And they said it was, for that day, that was lightning speed. You know? So, I don't know whether it's easier or harder for us to fathom. Because you think about somebody who lived back then, the idea of reaching heaven with a prayer, and now I can call China, and with very little lag time, I can FaceTime with them, like they're in the room with me. Now, if man can do that, how hard do you think it is for God to have a little system where He can hear your prayers? Think of that. That's the connection. Spiritual connection. It's not Wi-Fi, it's better than Wi-Fi. Spiritual. What'd you call it? Glorify? That's good. So right now, just as real as you're sitting in the pew and you ask yourself, "Well, does He just sit there?" This is kind of one of those questions. It's good to teach children. Because you teach children and they'll ask you some really good questions. I was teaching about Jesus being seated at the right hand of the Father, and some kid says, "He went to heaven like 2,000 years ago?" And I said, "Yeah, he's just been sitting there all this time?" Hey, that's a good question. The answer is no, it's a positional truth. But think about this, what a scene that must be when He assumes the position. In other words, it's basically like I say, so-and-so is my right-hand man. And it doesn't mean they're always standing there, you know, within reach of my right hand. And it's the same way with this. We don't know exactly what's going on in heaven right now. But remember, Paul said it was unlawful for him to tell us. Remember that? Paul saw it, but he said, "It's unlawful for me." Well, just think about what that must mean. That must be pretty wild stuff if he can't even talk about it. Here's Romans 8:34. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." I hope they can hear that. I didn't even have the mic turned up. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That was another one. Kids asked me to explain that because, you know, the way preachers preach it is like you say a prayer, Jesus hears it, and then turns around and repeats it to the Father. And that's not really, thankfully, it's not how it works. The picture that Scripture gives us is that spiritual connection. There's one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. Our prayers, because we're in Christ, our prayers go through Christ to the Father. But it's not a matter of Him having to repeat everything to the Father. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God is in all places, at all times. He hears all, sees all. There's only one being in existence who's capable of that. That's God. And so when you pray, without any lag time, your prayer goes right to the Father, but it has to be through the Son. That's why when we say, I remember years ago, I think it was on Phil Donahue, and he asked somebody, well, are you telling me you don't believe God hears the prayers of a Jew? And the guy answered wrong, because the answer is, God will hear everything. He's omniscient. But when the Bible speaks of God hearing prayers, it means, is He hearing it on the basis as a father to respond, or are you talking to Him as a stranger in which He doesn't respond? You see that? It'd be like Johnny walking up to me and saying, hey, Dad, can I have $20? I say, I'm not your daddy. Go ask that man who was sitting over there just a few minutes ago. You know, how many of you have been in a store and some kid come up and hold your hand? Thinking that you're their dad. And you're looking down and you're like, where's your... Oh, then they look at you like, who are you? You know. Well, that's what it's like when an unsaved person tries to speak to God. They're speaking to a stranger. You know what Jesus is going to say to people who are not saved, and yet while they're on earth, they even may have claimed to be Christians? I never knew you. You see, someone who's not born again, God doesn't know them on a personal level. He knows everything about them. It's like somebody who's a follower of Shania Twain or who's the new one? Taylor Swift. Took me a minute. Or if Doug was following Reba McEntire, you know. You can know all kinds of things about them, but none of us know them. Right? That's the way people are with God. And you can meet people, they'll tell you all kinds of things about the Bible and about God. They don't know Him, though. And the important thing is, most important thing is, God doesn't know them. You have to be on that level through Christ. And we get a glimpse of where Christ sits from time to time. Where Christ sitteth, as the Scripture says. Look at Ephesians. Just go back a few pages. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verse 18. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's only a saved person. What we're talking about right now is just hogwash to the unsaved. They don't want to hear this nonsense. Tell me something about me. Tell me how to get rich. Tell me how to, you know, be friends with everybody. Tell me how to be, what's that, win friends and influence people and all that kind of stuff. The Bible says, as a Christian, we should have our understanding enlightened. That happens by being born again, believing this book, reading it, and understanding it. And it says that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. This, you're saved, you got it made. But a lot of saved people are ignorant, or they just choose to live without the knowledge. But we got it made. This is God talking about the riches of the glory of His inheritance. You can't get much better than that. You can't get any better than that. Read verse 19 with me. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, read verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. See? That you get a glimpse from Scripture, but you have to be able to appreciate it by believing that it's really true. That God's power guarantees all this. Look at it. He uses the word power twice in verse 19. The greatness of His power to usward who believe. See, it's only for Christians. Only for those who are saved. According to the working of His mighty power. He says it twice. Verse 20 that He says, which He wrought in Christ when He raised. See, it's that raised from the dead. That's what it's all about. When Jesus rose from the dead, that was His... I mean, you have all kinds of imitations. You have the hammer of Thor, you know, and he's like, boom, you know. Well, let me tell you something. You want to see the boom, here comes the boom. That's when Jesus rose from the dead. When Jesus rose from the dead, He conquered sin and death. You think Superman's tough? Jesus don't have no kryptonite. Amen. He has conquered sin and death. And those who are in Him have also conquered sin and death. That's why my sweet little mother-in-law, I mean, she's just a petite little gentle soul. I mean, I'm sure you make her mad, but Jenny will come out, you know. But she's just a sweet, go out to eat with her, and she just, even needs to tell dumb jokes or whatever, she'll laugh, you know. She's laying there in that bed facing death. And what's her response? She'll wait for the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Amen. He's either going to make me better here or He's going to make me better forever.
Amen.
And she didn't wait till she hit the hospital and then open a Gideon Bible to try to get that kind of faith. She's been preparing for this her whole life. Amen. Adult life anyway. I don't know when she was saved. But that's what it's all about right there. Begging you. Preachers, good preachers, what they're going to do is they're going to stand up here and beg you. Please, don't wait until death comes crashing down. Get to know Jesus right now.
Amen.
I mean, the best time to get to know Jesus is during the good times.
Amen.
And then you find out He sticks closer than a brother during those bad times.
Amen.
He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I just get lost in these portions of Scripture telling us about home. And that's what it is. It's home. Go over to Revelation chapter 5. If you're not homesick, you're going to get bored. But if you're like me, I get homesick. I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. Think of that. God's Spirit in you is what's making you homesick. You've never been there. I've never been there. We don't know what's up there. We don't even know what we're missing. But the Spirit of God's in us saying, I want to go home.
Amen.
Revelation 5, verse 6. We're going to read a few verses here. I'm going to read the even and you read the odd with me because you're a bunch of oddballs. That just works out right. Verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Does your Bible have a capital L? That's Jesus. As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Picture this in your mind as best you can, what's going on in heaven right now. 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are, what was it talking about? The prayers of saints. Verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Oh man, I want to hear that song. I want to hear that song. They're singing that. That's a new song. Verse 10. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, that's billions, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. You just take some time alone with God, get real good and prayed up, and then open that Revelation chapter 5 and just let God give you a little chill. A heavenly chill. Just think about what's going on up in heaven. I got another one, Revelation 7. Just a couple verses I want to read over there. Verses 15 through 17. And if you believe this book, you've got the Spirit of God in you, you read this stuff, man, it'll make your day. Verses 15 through 17. Go ahead and read all three verses with me. "Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Glory, glory. That's home. That's your real home. And the more you get filled with God's Word and God's Spirit, the more home that's going to be to you. And the less this world's going to matter to you. The less you're going to care about what people think of you when you stick to the book and you don't go along with this culture that we're in.
Amen.
Yeah, Doug?
Reminds me of that song my mother used to sing all the time. "Turn your eyes and
see." Oh, amen.
"And the things on this earth,
and the light of His glory and grace." But this wonderful scene we just read is a terror to the Christ rejecting. Think of it, if you're saved, how wonderful that sight is. To the unsaved, that's horrible. It's terrible. It's everything they don't want to believe actually exists. That's why here in Revelation 6:16, when the seal judgments are taking place, the unsaved said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb." When we think about Jesus being on the throne, we think of worship. We think of, I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to be in that place. If you're a Christ-rejecting fool, then you think about Jesus on the throne and you think, "I don't want anything to do with that. I don't even want to hear it. La, 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 la. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me." That's how they act. That's why verse 2 says, "Set your affection on things above." Affection. Today we live in a day of unnatural affection. We're told, you know, we're two men and two women together. You're supposed to call that love. God says it's a vile affection.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.